Hey, this is Stryker, and this is the Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK. Listen and feel the pain.
Time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 16th. Holidays today, real quick. It's Appreciate a Dragon Day. And National Nothing Day. So both of them pretty much nonsensical. Pain Clinic brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire, Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby, want to be a skater, officiate Rock City Roller Derby, needs you, contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. If you're into the men's team, it's the Flower City Fear. Flower City Fear, F-L-O-U-R, flowercityfear.com. Good morning, all you wrestling fans in Rochester and elsewhere, all over the world. I am the Cash Man. I'm joined this week, as always, by the cast and crew, the smartest and most intelligent wrestling fans and on the planet, you know, I would say, or even more than just fans, too, you know, the most intelligent wrestling minds on the planet. I'm joined by Danger Boy to start off this week. How are you doing this morning, Danger?
I'm doing fine. Getting ready to watch the Bills win another playoff game tonight.
Yeah, you're hoping so. Tis left to your radio left. It's the Artiste. Artiste, how are you doing this morning, Rob Sanderson?
Go Bills.
Yes, and hockey's back, right?
It is. Well, the National Hockey League, at least. Yes,
National
Hockey League. Yay, $9 million fourth stringer.
Also joining us is the Ferbster, Furby. How you doing, Ferb?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great.
Welcome. And DC Dan Cole from North Carolina joining us. DC, how is the weather in North Carolina?
That's just fine. Go Niners.
Woo! Oh, are they playing? Woo!
Golf.
Hit that ball. Welcome to the show today. We got a lot of things to talk about. We're going to our annual awards. We're going to go through our categories in the next segment, but we've got to do that. We've got Hard to Kill, Impact Wrestling with the AEW crossover this weekend as well. You're definitely not going to want to miss that tonight. And but we're going to start off talking a little bit about WWE. You know, we haven't talked about them, you know, starting off the show in a while because things have been more important, you know. And but, you know, this week we find out right before Monday Night Raw, Drew McIntyre, COVID-19 positive. They even got some shots for him on Monday Night Raw this past week, him talking about how, you know, wear your masks. And I'm a non-symptomatic positive test. And but man, that really can throw a monkey wrench into the Royal Rumble with him, you know, taking on Bill Goldberg in the main event. You know, remember last year when Bill Goldberg was supposed to take on Roman Reigns at WrestleMania and Roman Reigns opted out. And so what is this? Is this a McIntyre thing? Is this going to make it to Royal Rumble Danger, or is, you know, what do you think about this?
Well, if he's asymptomatic and does everything like most sports have been doing, he should be okay the week before the Rumble, or definitely by the Rumble, to be able to participate. That being said, this was the first time WWE acknowledged that one of their people had COVID. So that's a big deal because you can't ignore this one. And we heard there was other names that came out this week that said they've had COVID that no one knew about. So it's starting to actually be in our mind a little bit more that hey, yeah, these wrestling companies have gotten kind of lucky so far, and things can take a change just like they have in every other sport. I still think it's kind of stupid that they have so many people, you know, together at the same time doing stuff, but that's not going to change, obviously. And to bring back a 71-year-old man to join in the fun every week is a great, great idea.
Furby, what you think? Let me say something real quick. You know, one thing is Florida is like been the highest COVID-19 rate for, I don't know, about a month now. It's like every day they're breaking records.
For a year.
So it's like, I'm not surprised, but is this time to put him in a bubble or maybe have Vince go and do an NHL thing and go and buy the vaccines for all his people or something? You know, what do you think, Ferbs?
I wouldn't doubt if he thought about it, but then again, does he care enough? I don't know. It's one of those things where you don't know what he's thinking. All these wrestling companies seem to be in Florida where most of the, high rates are coming from. So who knows what they do. But as far as the McIntyre thing, glad to see that he's asymptomatic, but it's almost like they're dodging Bill Goldberg.
Oh,
I was going to say, not to make light of the situation, but my favorite headline of the week was when COVID doesn't even want to see a Bill Goldberg match.
Artish, you have any thoughts on this? I mean,
yeah, I don't necessarily agree with them continuing with the match will happen. He'll be fine at that point. Like, obviously, asymptomatic is a really good sign. That being said, like, I literally just talked an hour ago with a friend who has had it for 6 weeks and still not getting better. And, like, I just don't think we're only 2 weeks away. And if he's positive today, like, there's no guarantee of that. So to continue to promote it, like, yeah, it could be fine. I don't know. I kind of feel like they could have come up with a different option or just, like, not really, I don't know, maybe you don't fully acknowledge it yet. And then at the last minute, like, you get to the week of and you decide something else or whatever. Again, like, I hope McIntyre gets well. Can we just not have Bill Goldberg wrestle for the title? Even if McIntyre is 110%, I don't want to watch that match.
Well, what I find interesting is they usually are, like you suggest, don't say anything about it until like the last second or when it's in past tense. Is this like a new philosophy by WWE to like come out and admit stuff? You know, I mean, it's kind of shocking.
I agree. Like, you take the title picture and the pay-per-view out of it. Like, I agree with acknowledging it. I think in a lot of ways it's important. And not to get on a tangent on it, but I can say, like, from my life, I've lived in a lot of different cities. I know a lot of people on this earth, for better or for worse. That being said, compared to somebody who doesn't know a lot of people on this earth, I know a lot more people who have gotten sick, who have been hospitalized, who have died from this virus. So that being said, I think it's important to acknowledge in this, like, if it's happened and if they recover, you hear the good stories, you hear the bad stories, whatever. Like, I think it, like, them being a little more transparent than they have been is a good thing. So I don't want to say that that was the wrong decision. I just don't know if you need to be like, oh, he'll be good. We're still going to have the match, promoting it, whatever. It's not like people are going out and, like, spending $45 now for a pay-per-view in 2.5 weeks or whatever the case is. I just don't think you need to be like, on the side of like, oh, it's no big deal, he'll be fine, whatever. Like, do you need a WWE championship match at the Royal Rumble? I don't know if you really do. Like, to me, like, the Royal Rumble is always about, like, who's going to get that shot at WrestleMania, which then should be locked in. It shouldn't be on the line the next month of the pay-per-view like they started to do many years ago and all that stuff. Like, make the Rumble be the focus of the pay-per-view. I don't care much about any other matches at the Royal Rumble other than the Royal Rumble matches. Let them be the focus.
And yeah, put that match is going to take back. Yeah, I mean, the WWE Championship match is just going to take backseat anyway, so.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, I will say that, you know, you're right, it's not that important, but the thing too is just because Drew McIntyre is non-symptomatic now doesn't mean he's not going to get sick next week, you know? And so, you know.
Well, and I think too, to guys like Roman Reigns, who kind of, this was why they stayed away.
Yeah. I mean,
so I'm wondering, you know, if anybody's having second thoughts.
If Bill Goldberg wants to wrestle a guy who is, you know, this close to being diagnosed positive, you know, I mean.
Bill Goldberg, no. Bill Goldberg's ego, yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, if he'll try harder. Maybe, no, I don't know. There's just nothing good about him wrestling Drew McIntyre at the Royal Rumble. You know, it's funny is, yeah, there's just been a lot of memes this past week about Drew McIntyre testing positive and nobody wanting to see Drew McIntyre and Goldberg in a match. So, and the funny thing is the only one who wants to see it is the guys who are forcing it down our throats. So, you know.
I think at the same time, we're talking about, you know, WWE COVID and Drew McIntyre. We do have to acknowledge that there's been a couple of AEW people, Nick Jackson and Chris Jericho, who have both come out and said, yeah, we had it in September and no one knew about this. Nick Jackson apparently had symptoms and it beat him pretty good. And Jericho apparently was asymptomatic and it's a shock he got it going and doing Sturgis and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, and Chris Jericho was a denier for a long time, even after he supposedly had it. So it's interesting to see him, you know, turning face on some stuff now. But it's not exclusive to WWE. It is everybody included. We heard earlier this week, and we haven't heard any other names, that it was going through every locker room of every company because everybody was together for the holidays with family or friends.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that we're still, you know, even locally here in Rochester, I still don't think we've hit a pinnacle yet from the holidays. I still think it's bound to happen, you know, but we also have a vaccination now. So, you know, eventually I think, you know.
If you can get it.
If New York will actually roll it out, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, whatever, yeah. Another topic.
Yeah, I said I'm a one B.
Wrong show.
I may be the first one of all of us to get it, you know, because I work in a high school, so you know another job working in a high school. But I was going to say that most likely will happen. But one other thing I want to mention before we break about since we're talking about Drew McIntyre and that all happened. I mean, I swear it was like 2 hours before Monday Night Raw that this announcement came out. And he obviously cut a promo or two, I think, recorded. By himself on maybe his cell phone. You know, I love how everyone's using my angle where you hold the phone real high when you do when you tape and you make sure it's vertical, not horizontal, because that's always one of the biggest beefs. If you're ever working in video, man, make the phone go sideways, do horizontal. You know, it's a bigger, wider picture. But if you guys make it all the way to the end of Monday Night Raw, you got to see Alexa Bliss throw a fireball. And it wasn't just your average fireball. To me, I think maybe George Lucas had something to do with it because it looked like special effects big time. But, you know, hitting Randy Orton in the face and then Randy Orton squirmed all over the place until the show ran out of time. What did you think about that, Danger? It was well done. I'll give him that.
Yeah, it's nice to see they didn't just drop the angle and they did something with it and, you know, they continued on the story, and we're going to get whatever we get between the Fiend and Orton. I just hope that Orton has the wherewithal to go talk to Rey Mysterio about what it's like to be blind for a period of time.
You have your eye poked out. Ferbs, thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was funny how the previous 2 weeks, how they got cut off short at the end of Monday Night Raw, and then this week it was the most awkward thing watching Randy roll around trying to find out where he is because he's blind after the fireball. And it was just such a dramatic, long, long time that it was just on him.
Yeah, it was. DC, you get a chance to see that. I mean, there was shots of it everywhere as well as videos of it everywhere.
I did see the clip of that. I mean, it was certainly better than Keith Lee's exploding flaming book. So. I mean, again, not to sound like, you know, an old curmudgeon or a fuddy-duddy, but I mean, that stuff just does nothing for me anymore.
Wait, hold on. You don't want to sound like those things, but you use those words?
Fuddy-duddy?
Damn right. Yeah, a lot of part that made you and what did you, and a fuddy-duddy? Is that
the word? And a curmudgeon.
Okay, wow.
And he's got bees in his bonnet.
Oh, no.
Are you going to go snack on some toffee after this?
Werther's Original.
Saltwater taffy.
Rivers man. Original, yes. Yeah.
Put
you
some, know what? Put some jimmies on there, man. Guys, we're up against a break. DC ran off.
I got my old lady candy jar.
Oh. Werther's originals. Hey, they're good. I like
talk crap about Werther's.
If you like like butterscotch, you like that stuff. So we're gonna go to break on that. Come back. We're gonna talk about Hard to Kill, Impact's pay per view, and a couple other things. We have the Dusty tournament starting on NXT this past week, and we saw a surprise entrance. I don't know if it was a surprise entrance or not, but now I'm really do that again. I want some Werther's originals now, man, because. I love butterscotch. Are you kidding me? It's one of my
like these are great.
Yeah, you could. This is definitely a show made for video. That's for sure. But we'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. The incredibly missing wrestler, Braun Strowman, his theme here, bringing us back in. Thank you so much for listening. We are the Pain Clinic. I am the Cash Man with Furby Danger Boy, the Artiste, Rob Sanderson, and DC Dan Cole from North Carolina. Everybody's someplace else, but I'm in downtown Rochester here on the 16th floor of the KeyBank building. And it's a 5-star bank building. KeyBank's in Buffalo, where the Sabres play. You know, I know
you're
that.
You're not
place.
At Midtown Plaza?
No Midtown this week. But welcome back to the show. So we're going to do in this segment, we're going to catch up a little bit. We're going to do our awards. So if you haven't voted in our awards before, our end of the year awards are going to be on our Facebook page. You'll be able to find them. Just go to, we'll pin them to the top. So you, and it's a Survey Monkey. Is that what it is that we use, DC?
Yeah, that's the service we use too. Kind of set everything up and do all the tabulating for us.
So we've got the Survey Monkey, and so we're going to go through real quickly and give you what you can vote for each category, and then when we get the results next week, we're going to expound upon it. But DC, why don't you go through real quickly what people can vote for?
Okay, so we'll try to make this as quick as possible. So we have Male Wrestler of the Year. Nominees are Kota Ibushi, Drew McIntyre, Jon Moxley, Orange Cassidy, Roman Reigns, and Kenny Omega. Female Wrestler of the Year. Nominees Io Shirai, Sasha Banks, Deonna Purrazzo, Bayley, Asuka, and Sheeta. Tag Team of the Year, the Golden Role Models, Kenny Omega and Adam Page, The North, The Street Profits, and The Young Bucks. Faction of the Year, The Hurt Business, The Dark Order, The Undisputed Era, The Inner Circle, and The New Day. Match of the Year, Omega Page versus the Young Bucks, War Games, Dragunov versus Walter, Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, and Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly. Event of the Year, AEW Revolution, the Royal Rumble, Slammiversary, and the Brody Lee Celebration of Life. Promotion of the Year, self-explanatory, vote for your favorite promotion. Breakout Star of the Year, Darby Allin, Orange Cassidy, Keith Lee, Johnny Silver, Kyle O'Reilly, MJF, Murphy, and Sammy Guevara. Moment of the Year, COVID-19 impacts the wrestling world. Edge returns at the Royal Rumble. Mr. Brody Lee dominates Cody. Sting returns, and Omega and Don Callis steal a championship. And your Comeback of the Year, Edge, MVP, Brody Lee, Eric Young, and the Motor City Machine Guns.
There you go. Those are the categories. Those are the men. Go vote when you get a chance on our Facebook page. And if you haven't before, be our friend. Like our page. You know,
please.
We're not going to beg too much. But, yeah, this is all fun. We'll be doing the awards next week on the show. We'll be tabulating all your votes and everything. Now, we did tease you last week that we were going to throw out some what we were going to do. We were going to put out some ideas, and now we've got them all down in pen and paper and on the World Wide Web and on Facebook, you know, Facebook.com. So come check it out, vote, and, you know, and we'll read the winners. And we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of pageantry with it. Even though we're not going to be with each other, we'll all be all over the place, all over the world. Maybe we should dress up still. Think so? We usually, you know, dress up nice. I had a nice tie on last year. DC had a nice sports coat, I think. Did you have a sports coat last
year? I was up last year, right?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so you know, we try to fashion it up a little bit. So we'll have a good time. It'll be a lot of fun, and you'll have as much as fun to see who wins what. But some other news we want to get to. Now, this past week, we finally got the NXT unveiled its brackets for the 2021 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classics on WWE.com. Some really strong teams out there. Nothing unusual beyond a debut, I guess. MSK, like, who's MSK? Everyone's like, who's MSK? Furby, who's MSK?
Les Lee, formerly known as Desmond Xavier from Impact Wrestling, and his partner, Nash Carter, formerly known as Zachary Wentz from Impact. They were the Rascals. Their logo popped up all over social media yesterday, and pretty exciting to see them in a strong performance.
Yeah, they beat Isaiah Scott, Swerve Scott, and Jake Atlas. And I think that's what I'm finally figuring out now. Even though Swerve kind of went bad and everything and swerved to the bad side, it's more like he swerved to the point where he's never going to win again in NXT. But there's some good matchups. I'll quickly go through a few of them. We had Adam Cole and Roderick Strong beating Tyler Breeze and Fandango on this past week's NXT. So they carry on to the next round. Tony Nese and Aria Daivari, the brother, of course, of the original Sean Daivari, versus Ashante Adonis and Desmond Troy. Kushida and Leon Ruff, which I have a feeling they're going to go a bit, but they're taking on Johnny Gargano and Austin Theory, who they had a big problem with this past week on NXT. We saw Grizzled Young Veterans, Zach Gibson and James Drake versus Ever-Rise, Matt Martel and Chase Parker. And that was already won by the Grizzled Young Veterans, right? That was the last one. That was last week as well. Drake Maverick and Killian Dane. I wonder why they were having those guys team up together. Now I understand why. They want to put them in the tournament. They're taking on Curt Stallion and August Gray, Marcel Barthel and Fabian Aichner, I think it is, versus Lince Dorade. So, and Graham and Metalik, they're both taking these guys from poking their heads in from the major leagues, I guess you would say, Dorado and Metalik. So Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wild versus the Bollywood Boys, Sunil Singh and Samar Singh. Those are the Singh brothers, if you remember, from, what was that? They were with...
Jinder.
Yeah, they were Jinder Mahal. They were the guys, they were the twins or whatever that, you know, supported him and helped him win every match. So we got like three of these matchups already down, but it was great. You know, it's just really weird for me watching this on NXT when at the same time on AEW you get Cody Rhodes, whose dad they named this tournament after. And they, if you listen to the commentary on NXT during the matches, they kept referring to Dusty Rhodes the entire time about how these guys would represent, like, you know, this is the kind of guy who would represent Dusty. You know, Dusty was this kind of wrestler. And, I mean, it's always a great thing. It's good to keep, you know, Dusty's name out there and everything. It's just really bizarre that the heart of AEW really is, you know, Cody Rhodes and you know, he, you know, he's the face of AEW, but, you know, his dad is being honored by WWE. And, you know, we know in the past when he didn't have AEW that Cody Rhodes was all for it, and he would talk about the Dusty Rhodes, the tournament, you know, the tag team tournament. But I just find it interesting. Anyone, Danger, what do you think about that? Is that are there any political moves there or anything, or anything WWE, you know, is there any, like, taking shots at anybody, or they're just flaunting what they got?
He said previously that they asked permission and talked to him about it before, or even when he left the company, before they ran the event. And it's just something they do every year now. So, you know, it's a way to keep a legend's memory in everybody's forefront of their head for a period during the year. And, you know, it is what it is. It is odd to see his son on the other channel doing quite well and running a company pretty well. But, you know, it is what it is. It's something that's been around for, was this the fourth or fifth one at this point? So it is what it is.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone have any thoughts on that? How about you, Ferbs?
I guess just going to talking about the actual teams that are in the event, I'm actually really excited. I think Drake Maverick and Killian Dane are a lot of fun. They probably, I mean, they might go over Curt Stallion and August Gray, but those two guys have had a lot of TV time lately. Look for Imperium probably to go towards the finals. My prediction would be maybe Undisputed Era. I mean, we've seen those, we've seen that matchup before, but can't go wrong with that.
Oh, I would agree, definitely. And that was a fun match, actually, on NXT. It was, you know, Adam Cole and Roderick Strong, Tyler Breeze and Fandango, just because everybody else in the world was messing with them as well. And yeah, so this is going to be some fun if you enjoy tag team wrestling, and we're going to get that for the next couple of weeks. You can catch that on NXT. Not to, have you, I want you to turn off AEW or anything, because if you really want to see some of the really cool tag teams, you get turned on AEW. And what did I see this past week? But the Good Brothers show up. You know, they've been on the last couple weeks, but last 2 weeks, but they didn't wrestle, you know, until this past week. And I was very impressed. It was, you know, seeing them come out instead of the Bucks, which they were expecting, you know, and tagging with Kenny Omega. What do you think about that, Danger? I mean, they're good wrestlers. I think they should have been on this show from the beginning, to be honest with you. They did sign a deal with Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, I like what they're doing. I like that they're having the crossover. I think eventually they're going to end up on AEW or on loan or whatever they're going to do contract-wise with everything. It was a nice way they teased that it was going to be the Bucks. Everybody thought it was going to be the Bucks. It was the Good Brothers. It was something nice to see, and it's something you don't see anymore, is these promotions working together. So it still has its nice curiosity points currently. I'm interested to see where it's going to go. And they are a fairly good tag team and can have really good tag team matches that we didn't get to see in WWE. So I'm glad we get to see that elsewhere.
Well, that, and after we had the Bullet Club kind of happen last week, kind of the reuniting of the Bullet Club with the
careful what you call it. You don't want Tama coming after you.
Yeah, I don't want him. I don't want to get sued by anybody. But it was it certainly was a heck of a preview for Hard to Kill pay per view, which is tonight on Impact Wrestling. Hard to Kill. It's going to be on pay per view. You can watch it on In Demand, Dish Direct TV. There's about a million places you can find it. Fight TV, where you can pre-order as well. And it's $40. I think $39.90. I think it's $39. But what we're going to do in our next segment is talk a little bit about that pay-per-view. So we're going to take a break. You are listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole from North Carolina, Furby from Hilton, New York, Danger Boy from Gates, the Artiste from Rochester, as well as I from downtown Rochester. I am the Cash Man, your humble host. We're welcoming back. We're going to talk a little bit about this weekend's Hard to Kill pay-per-view. The first, I guess we'll get a good idea of what this AEW Impact Wrestling partnership is, with what kind of buy rate we get for this pay-per-view. It's tonight, you know. They've been and there's really a pretty good lineup that's going on Hard to Kill. First of all, Ferb, what are you looking forward to the most on this pay-per-view?
I mean, obviously it's got to be the headliner, the main event, Omega, Anderson, Gallows, you know, versus Swan and Motor City Machine Guns. And actually, in this build-up, if anything, one thing that I was kind of surprised about is we saw Anderson and Gallows come over to Impact or to AEW. I was surprised there was involvement with Rich Swann coming over to AEW. He's kind of like the big part of the other half of the main event. This week would have been a great time. You know, Moxley came out and, you know, interrupted, you know, Omega, Anderson, and Gallows, but to throw Rich Swann and have him come out, I mean, and have a little bit more back and forth between him and Omega, you know, that's kind of where it started a little bit. But, you know, Perrazzo and Valkyrie will be great. Just up and down the card. Again, pretty not stacked, but a very good card.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's one thing that when I was watching AEW, because Rich Swann didn't start with Impact Wrestling. If you remember when he first started, it was with WWE, when WWE was bringing their 205 guys over to Monday Night Raw. And Rich Swann would come out and steal the show every time he was on TV on Raw. Now, he had kind of a falling out with WWE, got cut, and showed up in Impact. And I'll say his Impact career has not been the smoothest career in the world because he got hurt. Right before he was getting his major push, he got hurt. And then he came back, and when he came back, you know, they immediately threw him back to where he was going to be, which is, I guess, a wise idea. Put him back in the main event, try to put the title on him. And they had him, EY showed up at the same time as he was coming back from the injury. And so they had him and EY have a couple matches. EY, you know, supposedly destroyed his ankle, quote unquote. And then, but Rich Swann was the big winner. But then I feel when Kenny Omega shows up on Impact Wrestling, he kind of disses Rich Swann left and right. And I kind of like the buildup that was going. And I did not understand why they couldn't have brought Rich Swann to TV this past week in AEW, at least to come out and help when there was 5-on-1 against Moxley in the ring.
Yeah, I agree. I think they kind of missed on a perfect opportunity to, you know, if they're really going to build up a crossover between the two brands, really to build up Impact even more. I mean, I know you've got, you know, Gallows and Anderson, who are kind of basically, you know, the Young Bucks, Omega's boys. You know, you have them going back and forth. But if you really want to build up the crossover, have other guys who you wouldn't normally see or think that would come over to AEW from Impact, then I think you really start to mesh, you know, the intertwining of the two brands, especially in this spot. Again, like you said, you have the perfect opportunity for someone else to come out and help Omega or help Moxley this week. And you would think the Impact World Champ, the guy who kind of got stepped on, if you will, by Omega, you know, when Omega comes in over to Impact, that would have been a perfect opportunity.
Yeah, I will say one thing too about that is I think, and I'm just throwing this out as my own personal prediction, but I think that this pay-per-view will end with a lot of questions still to be asked, a lot of questions to be answered. I mean, I have a feeling that this, what we've seen so far from Invasion from one side or the other, is going to be completely 100% in gear on Saturday night tonight. And there's a lot of other names that aren't on this list of matches that I think are going to show up, and we might get a full blasted, invasion by AEW into Impact, which the thing about the whole deal, this setup and everything is Impact is coming in these matchups. With, you know, we're the better of the two. You guys suck. You know, I mean, if you've seen any of Tony Khan's fake commercials where he's like talking about how I'm spending money on your show, I'm keeping you guys going and stuff. You know, it's a very attitude driven, snobbish type of thing. And I think that it's just the tip of the iceberg we're seeing right now. Danger, you have any thoughts on that? Do you feel that this could be like an NWO thing eventually?
I don't know if they'll go that far with that. I think there's going to be more involvement starting at the pay-per-view. I'm not upset that they didn't bring in Swann. I think it's going to be a slow burn. I think there's going to be, it's going to build up to things. You also have to remember, from the point of view of Tony Khan, there's no point in having Rich Swann show up on the show because he's part of the quote-unquote invading force. He's part of Impact Wrestling, which is what Kenny is. So that doesn't, the way it's going to set up is Kenny is kind of, he's the AEW champion, but he's on the Impact side. So it might be something they do on the side elsewhere. They can build to it a different way. But I want to see what they do, and I think there's going to be more involvement. I think you're going to have some people show up that aren't expected to be there this evening. It's gonna be good. I'm looking forward to it. And if it wasn't on at the same time as the Bills game, I'd be watching it live.
Do you think maybe Chris Jericho shows up on Impact Wrestling? Wouldn't that be a coup? Remember when, like 5 years ago, when they were trying to get Impact was trying to get Chris to come on when he, you know, he wasn't doing WWE and he had his band. His band actually had the theme song for I think Hard to Kill pay per view. I believe it was. It was one of the pay per views that Chris's band, Fozzy, had done the theme for. So, I mean, that would be a big surprise, definitely. You know, DC, have any thoughts on this?
I was just going to say, from a kind of a side perspective, while there's much to look forward to during the pay-per-view, one of the things I'm excited about after watching some episodes recently, watching on Twitch, new broadcast team starts tonight for Impact. And that's, if you haven't heard the news, it's going to be Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown replacing Josh Matthews and Madison Rayne, which I'm 100% for, because no offense to them, listening to their commentary was painful at times.
Well, you know, I don't hate Josh Matthews, and because one, first of all, I think he listens to the show. Second of all, you know, but we've seen Stryker recently. Well, where did we see Stryker and D'Lo? Both of them were doing commentary on something we saw recently. It may have been during an Impact pay-per-view in the last year or so, but they both work for Impact as well. It's going to be interesting to hear a different perspective. Of course, Matt Stryker coming from Tough Enough, from WWE. Back, I think that's where he started, was Tough Enough, and he was a teacher, quote unquote. And
I'm a big fan of Matt Stryker from his Lucha Underground days.
You did that as well as Lucha Underground too. I have an ID someplace for him going Stryker, you know, where we met him in Buffalo at one of the ballpark brawls, which was pretty cool. But
and he still has one of my favorite calls ever, back when he was working with WWE, when Sheamus defeated John Cena in the tables match for the title.
When he backed him in through the table, yeah,
yeah. But his commentary, like, they're showing, like, the faces of, like, all, like, the sad and crying kids in the crowd. And Stryker's like, this is awesome. Look at all the sad faces.
Rob, you have any thoughts on this?
First of all, from the commentary side of things, because obviously that's something that I care, like, the most about, or more than the average person, I guess. We'll see how it goes. Like, to me, Stryker still strikes me more as a color analyst and not a play-by-play guy. So, I think Matthews did a fine job, and him and Madison were okay for that. They weren't my least favorite Impact commentary team of all time. They weren't my favorite either, I guess. So, in terms of the pay-per-view itself, like, I'm looking forward to it. I think in this age, like, I wish I could watch it live, because there's no way of truly avoiding everything. It's the same way that I would care more about NXT if it wasn't on at the same time as AEW. But by the time I get done watching Dynamite, I've already heard half the things on NXT, and I don't care to watch stuff I already know about most of the time, as dumb as that might be. But I think there's no way to get out of this six-man tag main event with a clean finish. So hopefully there is a slew of appearances, and if it ends with a really fun finish, even if you're not getting an actual end to the match itself, I think that's fine, because neither one of those teams should lose in all of this. But like was being said there, like, I don't agree with like with Dynamite, where you've got Moxley and the Bucks involved and stuff. Like, I kind of wish they had been more of a Swan and Motor City Machine Guns thing, and let this be a slow build. But I don't need to be thinking about, this is going on in Impact and the Impact pay-per-view, but then over on AEW, there's kind of the same thing going on, but it's Moxley and the Bucks. And what did they, like, does Callis really care about the Bucks? Does Omega care about the Bucks or not? Like, it's like a totally separate storyline.
Yeah.
And I hope that we get, like, there was a lot of excitement about that Bullet Club reunion. And then not on, like, a week later, all of a sudden you're like, oh, maybe we don't care about this. Like, a lot of people do want to see that. So if you get to the point where, like, they're facing each other or something, like, let's do that down the road. Let's let them all be together and not tease this, like, separation already. I don't know. I just didn't love that part. No, but
yeah, I agree. I agree. I will say one thing, little advice, picture in picture. Okay, I'm just going to throw that at you. You can watch everything when picture in picture. It's just super small, you know. But if you have a giant TV, it's big. Or you sit closer to it.
Only if it's restaurant quality picture.
Yeah. If you sit closer to it, you can see it too. But I was going to say that, I think that there's going to be a major turn during this pay-per-view as well, because that's another way that, it's going to keep going to stoke the fire is have someone else turn. But we got some other great matches, and I'm not even going to – I mean, that's what we're all thinking of right now. But what about Deonna Purrazza and Taya Valkyrie, Mrs. John Morrison there? Ex-champ versus champ. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun. And we got Manic, Chris Bay, and Raju in a triple threat for the X Division Championship, which is always exciting. And Chris Bay is definitely, reminds me a lot of Rich Swann, very good athletic wrestler. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We've got the finals for the tournament for the Knockout Tag Team Champions, which is a slow burn for this one. We're finally getting to it. And Eddie Edwards is taking on Sami Callihan. It's not like we haven't seen that a few times, but this one's going to be in a barbed wire massacre match. So I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of red painting the carpet there all over the place. And then Tommy Dreamer, Rhino, and Cousin Jake versus Eric Young, Joe Doering, which I don't know. I've never really been experienced much as Joe Doering guy, but, man, he's giant. He is a big dude. I don't know about the cowboy hat, though. And Diener looking fine with that short hair and the trim beard. Rosemary and Crazy Steve is going to take on Tennille Dashwood and Caleb. I don't know. I haven't really been following that storyline too much. And Ethan Page is taking on Karate Man, which there is the Hollywood match on the pay-per-view. We're going to, because if you don't know already, folks, Ethan Page is Karate Man. And
how dare you?
Yeah,
did I ruin it
if
for
there's
you?
If there's four matches I really want to see out of this, obviously the main event, Purrazza versus Taya, the triple threat for the X Division Championship, and then Ethan Page versus Karate Man.
We'll see how they do
it. Josh Alexander and Brian Myers on the pre-show too could be a good one too.
That could have replaced Rosemary and Crazy Steve versus Tennille and Caleb.
Yeah, I want to see Brian Myers more. He's all over social media, but he's not getting much time on the TV. Yeah, but maybe it's because he's wearing Mets colors. I don't know.
No.
I'm just busting on you guys. So, we got to take a break. I want to remind you, Hard to Kill is available for $39.99 on Fight TV. Unless you want to pay $49.95 for DirecTV, you can definitely check it out. Tonight, it'll be starting at 8 o'clock. And we're definitely going to talk about, I have a feeling that things are going to happen in this pay-per-view. This is what makes wrestling exciting, I think, because not anybody is doing crossovers. And who knows, maybe Ring of Honor will come out, and then you'll find out Stephanie McMahon owns Ring of Honor. No? No? Sorry, I had to do that. We got to go to break. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with Rob Sanderson, the Artiste, Danger Boy, Furby, and DC Dan Cole, and you. And thank you so much for listening. This is our last segment. It's been a great week for wrestling. I see the light at the end of the tunnel with this whole COVID-19 world. And hopefully sometime maybe before the end of the year, we can go back out and see wrestling come to our town or wrestling, I don't think it's that far away. So just have some hope and some faith and we'll do it. But I want to thank you guys for, once again, being here for another great show. Next week, don't forget, we're going to have our end of the year awards. I know I haven't said the word once yet. Should I say it? The painies? The painies?
There it is. Don't get them in a bunch.
It's come up. Yeah, a bunch of don't get your painies in a bunch. Oh, there's the line. You gotta put like a banner.
Don't you want them in a bunch though?
Well, all the funders getting the award.
Yeah. It makes storage easier.
You definitely don't want them bunching if you're wearing them.
No, that's for sure. Yeah, wear your panties and don't get them in a bunch. All right, welcome. Well, we're going to talk right now a little bit about, we got some news, but one of the things I wanted to bring up, something that we talked about when, you know, when sometimes when companies book themselves to the point where you've got two guys who are really, really need a win on TV, and you put them in a match on TV, and I think if any of them lose, it's going to hurt the push they're getting. And that, and what I'm talking about is Darby Allin and Brian Cage from AEW Dynamite this past week, the last match of the night, pretty much. And we had it wasn't the last match; it was the second to last match. So we had Darby Allin is the TNT champion, Brian Cage is the FTW champion, which the announcers continued to promote as a nothing title. There's no organization uses that, or you know what's the word they called
recognize it.
Yeah, they don't recognize it as a title. So
not a sanctioned,
which they shouldn't.
It's not a sanctioned title. It was made up by Taz and when he was in ECW, because he felt he should be in a title's position when they wrote him out of the title position. So he just was mad about everything and made the FTW world belt, made a bunch of Taz is also a graphic designer. So he designed all that stuff and everything and made a lot of money off the t-shirt sales and stuff. But so we get these two guys in a match. And to me, immediately, I'm texting with the guys. It's like, who can afford to lose this match? You know, going into it, who, you know, Brian Cage, who really hasn't won anything. I mean, yes, it was an impressive win-loss record when they showed it at the bottom of the screen. But really, who has he beaten? And he has lost to Cody, right? I think, for a title. And then you have Darby Allin, who just won the title. I mean, obviously, the super underdog in this match. And, guys, what do you think about it? Ferbs, I mean, who wins, who loses? And we know what happened. What happened, basically, was our Darby Allin won that match.
My biggest thing going into it, just kind of like you thought we were saying, is like thinking who really needs this win. I thought it was going to be Cage because Cage really hasn't won a big match. But then Darby also just won the title. So do you really want to pull the title off of him so quick? I think the biggest winner out of this match is really both of them. If you think of it, it took 8 long months basically to build up the story from the time frame when Taz came in and was trying to, you know, become the coach of Darby, and Darby said no. And then, you know, then Cage comes in and Cage is with Taz, and then they build this feud in and out. And then they really get to the big time of the feud right when Darby's starting to get the title, you know, or starting to get the match up with Cody for the TNT title, and Darby wins it. And then to have, you know, Darby really kind of steal the win with the roll up, I think that's beautiful, because that was actually the move that Taz was trying to tell him that, you know, I can help you on. So in the end, I think both of them won.
Danger, do you agree with that?
I think it was a good showing for both of them. I still think that Brian Cage actually has to beat somebody. You know, beating lower people on the card is all good, but I think he's got to beat somebody. I think they kind of booked themselves into this match months and months ago on accident and had to finally go through with it. So hopefully from here on out, they can go kind of a different direction. But it was a fun match. It was a good match on TV. I just think that Cage needs to beat somebody with a name at some point.
Yeah, I was going to say real quick, I think the best thing now, and the reason both of them win, is because now they're probably going to go separate directions. So they get away from each other for a bit. And I think that's the best opportunity for both of them.
Mr. Ortiz, I think you might have some opinions on this.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that I was very nervous, I guess is the word, going into it, because it's somebody's got to lose. It's a little weird that was like a TV time remaining match, but recently they've had other matches that could go longer. They would extend on TV, and they pushed it kind of to the limit. And you thought for a second, maybe there wasn't going to be a winner, which seemed like maybe that would be the way to get out of it. I think the way they booked the match itself, Cage looked like an absolute monster, especially that spot throwing Darby from the ring over the ropes through that table, all that distance. That's ridiculous. And that's what Brian Cage, just showing his strength. Like, he needs some big wins now immediately. He needs to go into a different feud, because that was Darby's first defense. And if Darby's maybe also going to do tag matches with Sting or whatever else, Darby might hold on to that title for a while if they truly have those long-term plans for him. Do I think he needs to have the belt right now? Not necessarily, but he's got it, so he shouldn't lose it yet. I think now you found a way to let Cage lose but still look strong enough, kind of. I still don't like that he had to lose, but, I mean, that's kind of what they had to do by booking that match in the first place. Now it's time to really do something with him. You know, they've teased a little bit with Archer, too, who's in a very similar category of, like, you got to start doing something with these guys. So, to me, like, I don't know, maybe Cage needs to be in the world title picture, whatever it is. Throw out, like, just let the FTW belt disappear. It's not helping him. It did absolutely nothing for him. It's a joke. I think it doesn't make him look good by having this fake title basically on his shoulder all the time. But I'm glad that at least he got that main event match, that he was able to show people what he can do. Even though he's been around and he was Impact champion and everything else, like, a lot of people still aren't too familiar with him. He hasn't really had a chance to showcase it all that much in AEW so far. So that was a good step in the right direction, at least. And I thought to me, that was easily my match of the week. I thought it was a great, very entertaining match. Should it have happened in the first place? Whatever. I'll get over that. But I agree that they need to go separate directions now.
Cool. DC?
Now, you know, there's not much to say after following the other three squares of awesomeness here. But, yeah, I mean, it was too early for Darby to lose the title. So, at least in the process, they did make Cage look pretty impressive. But, yeah, to everybody else's point, he needs to start beating some names.
I would agree 100%. We are running out of time. I'm going to squeeze in a couple things here at the very end. I do want to mention, Ric Flair had a major heel turn on Monday Night Raw. We saw him kind of sabotage his daughter. I don't know where that's going to go. I don't mind it. It looks like he'll have some fun with it, playing heel against his daughter for a while.
Anybody else's eyebrows go up when Lacey called him daddy?
Yeah. Oh my. and one last thing. It looks like Ricochet might be leaving WWE. His contract was up for renewal. He hasn't signed it yet. Ricochet could show up anywhere and put on a good match. So let's see what happens. What do you guys think?
And also doubt has been cast as to whether or not Riddle re-signed.
Matt Riddle as well. Matt Riddle, a fact about Matt Riddle you might not know. When he was in high school, he beat John Jones amateur wrestling. He has a win over John Jones. So on that note, we're going to get out of here, folks. Next week, we're going to come back with the ground-shaking news of what happens at Hard to Kill tonight. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, you can check all our old shows out, feelthepain.net, thepainclinic.net, and on iTunes. And we'll see you next week, folks. Watch your face.